Roger had the camera up through his eyes, and he stumbled and fell. I rode across the creek, got off the horse, and took my rifle out of the scabbard in case I had to make a shot.
For 20 minutes with my spotlight, we watched these two creatures.
I'm romantic. I would like Bigfoot to exist. I've met people who swear they've seen Bigfoot.
It's a very ominous feeling. First of all, everything is one color. It's like a dark pewter color. There are no right angles anywhere. There was almost nothing other than a small foldable hatchway that looked recognizable. Everything was really unworldly.
The other option is that these entities are in fact hybrid beings. They are some sort of a hybrid that's coming in and out of our dimension.
My arm contacted him. He just fell back very unexpectedly easy into the other one. And I rolled off the table in the other direction. And they came around the table and the three of them were coming towards me.
We have a really cool guest with us tonight. We have Nathan joining us. He's an experiencer who's had a Sasquatch encounter that we'll let him go ahead and tell and go into all those details. We're really thrilled that he's on the show tonight and excited that he's taking some of his own personal time to give us the details of what happened to him and what he saw. Welcome to the show, Nathan. How are you doing?
Good, good. How are you guys tonight?
Good. Good to have you on, Nathan. I'm doing pretty good, man. It's Friday. I'm excited to just have the weekend. I actually took today off, so I'm taking it easy. I've been taking it easy today, a little too much probably. But I got a haircut, so I got a mullet now, which is insane. So anyone that follows my Facebook will see that.
I was intrigued when I saw that your podcast took place in Utah, and that's where I'm from originally, is Salt Lake City, Utah. Moved away in there around the 2000 year, but so when I saw that, I was real interested because my main experience took place in Utah. It was only 7 miles up the canyon in Snowbird. That close. I mean, you got a huge city, metropolis, and then 7 miles up the canyon. And right by Snowbird, by the condos, is where I saw these.
To me, that's crazy because I'll drive up that canyon. Like, I know that canyon so well. I love both of our Cottonwood Canyons. I love Parley's as well. If anyone hasn't been to Utah, it's a really pretty place. Yeah, you'll have to get over like the smog that's in the city. And you know this, Nathan, pretty well. There was this, it's a bowl. So there's mountains all around us and it causes a really bad pollution in the city, which is frustrating because we can have higher pollution than like LA or bigger cities. But when you actually get up into the canyons and away from the really big city, man, I drive through the canyon almost every Sunday and it's usually Little Cottonwood, which is, I know, towards where you saw your experience. And what's funny, Nathan, really quick, is when I used to drive up there, I'd walk through the canyon a little bit, just park somewhere, smoke a cigar or something. And as I'm walking through somewhere, I would just get a weird feeling. And I'm like, there's no way there's these creatures up in the Cottonwoods. But then seeing your experience, it blew me away. And that's why we're so excited to have you on, because I was flabbergasted knowing that there was a Cottonwood experience, you know, our canyons that are right here. So
I'll go ahead with what I'm going to do first is just so I don't miss any little details. I'm just going to read this transcript that I wrote the next day when I got home, because we were actually pulling out that morning and I didn't really have time to go up there and track it. I had my family with me and they had seen it too, at least my wife did. But so here we go. This actually took place on October 8th, Snowbird, Utah. And I believe I'm trying to think of the name of the condos. I think it's that first set there. I think it's Iron Blossom.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one right before the cliffs. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah, Iron Blossom. Okay. So it was there. And so it was on a Sunday morning, and that's a timeshare. So people come in all week, and then they check out. I believe they check out on – I got Sunday here. Maybe it's Sunday morning they check out, and then they come in Monday. I might be a day off on that. But anyway, that's how it works. It's a timeshare. We were staying in my mother-in-law's condo. And so everybody gets packed up to leave. Well, so there was all this commotion going on. Everybody's taking turns pulling up to the front. you know, there's kids screaming, everybody's running around, there's arguments, there's laughing, you know, just a lot of stuff going on and carrying their stuff out. Just the whole front of the condos is just alive. So that was interesting. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. It was Sunday morning when many people were checking out after the week at Snowbird, Utah. There were a lot of children. I guess I could have just read this. A lot of children there screaming and playing raucous arguments as people rushed to get checked out of their vehicles, loaded out in front of the condos by 10 a.m. Cars moving back and forth, taking turns to load out of the condos, lots of commotion. And it was a brisk morning, maybe 40 degrees, a little bit of snow on the mountain. So it was just kind of right before that, you know, in October, right before the ski season when it's just starting to get some snow. So we started pulling out of the roundabout. There's a little roundabout there in front, the condo, if you're familiar with that. When my phone rang, it was my daughter. So I pulled off right next to that little stop sign that's right there down by the roundabout. You're not up on the highway.
Yeah, I know exactly the one. Exactly right. I know, right where you're thinking.
I parked just right there, but not too close to the stop sign, but right there, just off before it. And so, as I'm talking to her, I noticed four tall, just big looking lumps sitting on the shade, on the side of the mountain, in the shade of the mountain, because it's on the north side, the leeward side of the mountain. So it, even at 9:50 in the morning of what it was still shady here, but the sun was finally starting to hit next to it on the mountain here. So it was like this part was sunny. That part was shady.
So these lumps you saw is where the sun was shining, right?
No, it was
in the shade.
No, that was in the shade. That was how they were hiding. So
got it.
Well, so there was four tall lumps sitting in the shade of the mountain, some distance from me. So I'm going to say maybe 300 to 400 feet. It didn't look natural. They didn't look like rocks or trees. They were too uniform, and they were kind of pointed on top, almost like those pointed hats. And they were almost black or dark brown, at least in the shade. And then it looked like they started moving. I mean, they were big enough to be almost like small houses or sheds, size of a tiny home. You know, so I'm like, those are people, you know, it never even occurred to me that it was an animal, that first point. So then I told my daughter, hey, let me, then I started realizing, hey, these might be squatches, because it looked like they were, I could see like a huge creature in a squatting position, like their fists on the ground or something.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So I told her, let me call you back, half jokingly, half seriously. I said, I think I see a Bigfoot family. She kind of laughed. I'm like, okay. And I hung up and told my wife and my son, and he was way back. There was all kinds of stuff piled in the car. I don't think he could see, but my wife did. So I pointed out the window to the mountainside, and I asked my wife and son, I was like, am I looking at a family of Bigfoot right here? There's four of them. Is that four Bigfoot we're looking at right there in plain sight? There's no trees around. And she looked up there, and right then you could kind of see them starting to move. And then the big one on the right, or I'm going to say on the right, or the closest to Salt Lake, because they were sitting right there. I'm facing south. He stood up. He stood straight up as soon as I pointed. Just like that. He was so aware. All this commotion. They're sitting there watching people.
Mm. Yeah.
They were watching all the commotion. They were. It was like being at the movies for them. It was the most amazing thing, because he stood right up as soon as I pointed. And my wife goes, oh, my gosh. And then the female stood up, and she, well, he just started walking. He stood up, started walking up the hill, like big strides and fast. And then he went right into the sun where I could see him just plain as day. I'm like, oh, my God, I couldn't believe the size of this thing. I'm going to say he was 10 feet tall and maybe 1,200 pounds. I mean, just massive arms, very shaggy, hairy, almost like a cross between hair and fur, but very coarse, I'm thinking, just how it looked from a distance. Totally hair covered, huge arms and legs. His legs were probably, you know, where I could barely put my arms around one leg.
Like tree trunks. Like
tree trunks.
Oh, and my gosh.
The arms were super long, down to almost the knee. And to be honest with you, I've heard about people say of seeing them on all fours, but I couldn't really even imagine those guys walking on all fours the way they looked. They were just too straight up and down, and the way he was just strolling just so comfortably and fast up that hill. But then he stopped, right? You know, he still had maybe 12 or 15 more paces to get to where the forest of trees were, where he was headed. But he stopped and he turned around and he did this kind of big motion with his arm, almost like a beckoning, you know, for them. But it was kind of more like, but it was just kind of like swinging the arm like that, the whole arm and body. And then he stopped and stared at me for maybe 5 seconds. I don't know. the time kind of just stood still at that moment because, well, I had seen her off the side when he waved. She started trying to get one of the juveniles up, teenagers, probably, and I'm guessing. And she was massive like him too, but more chesty and busty and maybe not quite as tall. So I'm like, that's the mom, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
And she's trying to get them up and they're sitting there like, we want to watch the movie. And they didn't want to get up. They're just sitting there stubborn. And she finally got one of them up and then she's getting the other. But in that moment, when he turned and looked at me, I stopped looking at them because his face just, I had the desire really a lot. I was like, I want to see his face up close. And as soon as I thought that, it was like he went right into my mind and I could see his face up close just for a few seconds. And then I could see his expression and everything. And then also kind of a, I feel like there was a communication there. Like I'm like worried he was mad at me. And he was like, no, but let me know he was disappointed because, you know, it kind of ruined one of their fun things they like to do.
That's crazy. So real quick, I don't mean to interrupt you or anything, but really, really quick, I mean, we're going to have a lot of questions, I think. But they always get mad, first of all. Whenever you see them, a lot of times the reaction is like this anger reaction. Like, hey, you weren't supposed to see me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was kind of the feeling you had?
That was the tone of it. It was kind of like disappointed, a little bit upset with me because, yeah, you weren't supposed to see me. And just kind of this disappointed. And he had these big almond eyes and just kind of far apart. And the head was very pointed. I couldn't believe how pointed the heads were. I did not expect that if I ever saw a Sasquatch. They had very pointed heads. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I've seen other drawings and stuff, but I think these were more pointed than just about anything I've seen. And then the hair was very long on the heads, at least on the mom and dad. I'm going to say where there would be shoulders, which it really wasn't because the head's kind of sunk down into the huge, massive shoulders.
Yeah.
And the hair kind of came down long and straight down to, I'm going to say, 18 inches long.
Yeah.
Off the head, wow. Down straight, like it had been brushed almost. And then the shoulders were just huge and round. But when he looked at me, I could see his face, and it was it was pretty much hairless on his face, except the forehead was very triangular, kind of went into the pointed head. But it was clear right here without hair, and then it had a big brow. I don't think really much of an eyebrow that I noticed, but maybe some hair starting here. And then it went into like a beard, but its head is like sitting down in its chest. And so it just kind of sat and looked at me for a minute, and I didn't feel like it was really angry with me, but surprised and disappointed I noticed him.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of that feeling that I got from it. But at that point, too, when he just kind of, it's like came up close to me, the sun was hitting its face. And so I could see its eyes were just like golden from the sun hitting them, like just shining gold. And the skin was kind of, I'm going to say almost more human-like than ape-like, but it was kind of somewhere in between. I don't think it really had much of a mustache. It was just mainly just hair coming down from the chin or where the chin would be and around the sides of the face. And so the skin was kind of a grayish yellow, but that was with the sun hitting it, that morning sun. So anyway, and the whole time I still had my phone. I'm like, I'm fumbling with it and I'm wanting to look at the phone and get my camera up, which isn't hard to do, but I couldn't take my eyes off of it. And I've had that happen before on another quite paranormal event where I couldn't get my phone up because I was afraid I was going to miss what I was looking at. And tell you the truth, in retrospect, I think even if I would have got the picture and it wouldn't have ended up blurry, some people say they can make them blurry, which I think they can. But even if it would have come out clear, it would have been such a good video that people would have probably said it was AI.
I love that you said that. I love that you said that because no matter what, we can't win. Lately, we can't win.
You can't. I don't care how good the photo is. Yeah. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what it is.
My cousin's a little skeptical, and he was talking to me the other day, last weekend, because I had him at my place. And he's born-again Christian, which I also identify as Christian as well. But this paradigm for him is really tough. You know, like the Bigfoot phenomenon doesn't really fit the narrative very well. And I understand why. You know, Nephilim is what a lot of the time they go to, which I don't know fully if I understand that or whatever. But I was telling him about this stuff, and I was showing him some Provo, Utah footage of Bigfoot, right? Because there's a lot of Provo, Utah footage. A friend of mine even had an experience in Provo. But I was showing my cousin all this stuff, and I'm like, look at all this stuff, you know? And he was just like, wow, interesting. Wow, interesting. And then he's like, why is it blurry? Why is everything blurry? And I'm like, and I just scoffed because this is exactly what you just said. I was like, no matter what you do, it's going to be blurry, especially if it's far away. These guys are zooming in 100 times on that camera trying to get up to a mountainside to see this thing. They're not like 10 feet from it.
I saw that. They were in their house with a big telescope lens.
Yeah.
It was great footage.
Great footage. But if you're 10 feet away, you're probably dead. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? So I think you can't win. And you're right. The AI thing is just going to mess people up worse. And
now that we have that, it's like, it doesn't matter if you got a blurry photo or you've got a clear one. If you get a nice clear one from 10 feet away,
everybody's going to say it's fake. Everybody. It's crazy, you know, huh?
Yeah. I mean, the only people I think that are ever going to really believe it is people that have seen it, or some people are open-minded to it. You know, I always was. I was open-minded to it, but I always was like, man, I wish I could see a Sasquatch, you know?
So
I'm 65 years old. And I finally got to see it, you know, in 2017.
You go. I was going to ask you that really quick, and I'm sorry to interrupt you again, but I was going to ask you that too. Were you a believer before? Because you kind of made the joke about, like, I think I'm seeing a family of Sasquatches, right, to your kid or whatever, or to your wife and stuff. And I just wondered, like, so you already were aware that these things might be out there. What was it that, like, where did that comment come from? Like, did you already, what was your thoughts on, did you believe in it? Yeah, what were your thoughts on Bigfoot before all this, right? Before
I mean, that's a good question. But with me, you have to realize, too, that all my life, pretty much since I was a teenager, I've always been very interested in the paranormal. I've seen many UFOs. And in fact, I've done other podcasts on a crazy great sighting I had on a UFO that came right and landed almost right on me over my head.
Hey, reserve some time for us, because let's cover that at the end.
We might cover this at the end now.
If you have time.
You're opening up all these doors, Nathan. You're opening all these doors.
You're on the right show.
So, okay. But anyway, so I guess I've just always, whether I've seen things or not, I've been open-minded to them. So, like, I remember years ago, I was telling some guys about a UFO sighting I had, and they were like, oh, you've probably seen Bigfoot too, huh? And I was like, actually, no, I haven't, but I sure would like to, because I do believe that it's a real thing. I've had enough experiences, you know. I was kind of a believer, but I still wanted to see it for myself. I don't think there's thousands of people making up lies so they can be ridiculed. That's a ridiculous thing.
And Nathan, they're in, like, honestly, I know this sounds crazy to some people that aren't looking into the subject, but they're in every culture, in all native tribes. Yeah. Every native tribe has a story about them.
Yeah, they're in Australia.
The wild people, the hairy men. They got the Yeren, and in China. It's in every culture, in every state. It's not just a Pacific Northwest thing. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, you're right. You're right. It's more than thousands of people. It's like,
you know, that if there's enough evidence that they're real, that if it was a court case against somebody for murder, they'd convict them.
Yep.
They'd be long convicted. I mean, there's plenty of it for that, the stacks, you know? Yeah. So it's like, but anyway, yeah. So that was a good question. Although I did have another experience before that one. It was been 2009 here in Colorado, but it wasn't a sighting. So I didn't actually see it, but I felt like I knew what it was.
So really quick though, 2017 or so is when you saw this one in Utah, right? Yeah. The family.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually October 8th, 2017. I didn't even finish reading this whole thing, but
you're good. I just wanted to confirm the time with you, or the year with you.
Yeah, it was 9:50 in the morning. I was right there at Snowbird, and I don't want a whole bunch of people to rush up there and harass, you know, Bigfoot or Sasquatch family. But I thought, you know, I think there's enough interested people too in Utah and that, from what I've been seeing in some groups and that. There's people really scouring and looking that area, and it's not that they want to hurt them. I don't think they want.
No.
They just want to prove it. That's all, that they're real.
Yeah, I bought a chest cam, like one of those body cams that police wear, and I bought one of those little chest straps I use for working out. And I'm literally gonna go to Provo Canyon, like, as much as I can, and just walk around and maybe put it on the back of my hat or something like that.
That's a good idea.
And if they run behind me or something, you know what I mean. I know they're here.
They're famous for following you, so that's a great idea to film.
Put it on the back of your hat and have them just jump behind you or something, you know? But, dude, you know, really quick, and you can go back to this. We'll go back to your other experience with this. You didn't see it, but it was in Colorado. I was going to say really quick, Colorado is a very hot spot lately. I don't know if you know that. You probably do. There's been so many things going on in Colorado lately that are Bigfoot related. Obviously, the train hoax thing. I think it's a hoax. Maybe we don't really know the thing that crouched. I think it's pretty much a hoax at this point. It's hard to know, but
I know that looked real to me, but
it looked real to us too. I was a total believer right away, and then I saw these other things come out, and I'm like, I don't know. It looked real, and they do that. They blend in. They, like your experience, but they kind of get down and try to look like some, like, foliage or like a stump or whatever. You know?
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. What I was going to ask you, Nathan, with your sighting before we get into your Colorado one, before this, because this family one that you had here in Utah, not just because it's in Utah, it blows me away that there was an entire family that you saw. It's a bigger experience than most people have in their entire life. And so I think first and foremost, you had one of the coolest encounters because the reason I say this is it's one of those ones where it's the encounter's dream. You see it from afar. It's if you're driving away, you know how they always say that on these podcasts, like, I'd like to see one again, but I'd like to see it far away
from the car
while I'm driving, just a quick car. So yeah. you had one of those experiences, but you got to see it with the family, which is even cooler, and had more eyewitnesses around and stuff. What I was going to ask you is, like, when it mind spoke, I guess it kind of mind spoke its face to you up close and personal, right? Because a lot of eyewitnesses say, like, skin, I know you said you alluded to the gray skin color, which is very, very common. Gray and yellow, you said, sort of grayish yellow based on the sun, right?
Yellow could have been partly the sun because the sun was hitting its face right then, right, really well. But I think it was kind of grayish, but with a little bit of a yellowish hue that almost made it look more human-like.
Yeah.
And, you know, in other words, it was somewhere in between a gorilla or an ape-type skin, but not really like that. It was a little bit like human skin.
What about, I know you said the eyes were kind of a gold, goldish, really pretty eye, I'm sure. They say they look like horse eyes. A lot of people say, like, big black round eyes, and maybe with the sun shining on it, it's a gold amber, who knows? And I've heard that a lot as well. So you're not off on that paradigm at all. That's what we hear all the time. Like with the hair, did it remind you of like one of those Russian yaks? Like just thick, just tons of hair? Or was it like more human looking hair? Like what did it remind you of the most?
That's interesting you brought that up because that's maybe a very good description of what the hair looked like. It's nice. Like what you see on those yaks. It's just all just big, long, shaggy, thick hair.
Yep.
All over it. And I know some people have seen some and they say they see all these muscles. They looked huge and like they had muscles, but you couldn't really see much definition. It was just too much hair cover, which obviously made them look bigger, but they were huge. I was glad I was that far away in the car, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so those are, you know, you're right about that. I kept thinking about that after what an unusual sighting it was because there was not trees in the way. They were, especially when they got in the sun and they were walking up the hill. I mean, they were right there against the white snow. I could see them plain as day, and it was obvious they were not people because they were, you know, body mass wise, six times the size of a big man, five, six times. And so it was like, you wouldn't be able to see a person that big and easy on the mountain over there, 300-400 feet away. But they were just right there. It was like, wow.
So that pretty much rules out like a hoax, like a, you know, people doing it. That rules it out pretty much because they were too big. It was snowy. You're not going to be up there, you know, on this mountainside that's hard to traverse, by the way. It's super steep and stuff like that. What would you say like the height differences between like the parents and the juveniles was? Like, did you notice a different?
I was going
to. I'm a good estimator too on things generally. I used to do construction and that. But anyway, so I'm good with distances and sizes and things like that. But I estimated right away that I thought that the male, the big one, was probably around 10 feet.
Wow.
And
that's huge.
And I thought 1,200 pounds. I'm not kidding. I'm just massive arms and legs and just so, I don't know. I think it might have been almost 5 feet wide at the shoulders, you know.
Wow. Like a fridge, like an old 1950s fridge. Yeah.
When they were sitting down, they looked like a little house. And the head's like, you know, almost 3 feet around, 2.5 feet. They're just giant. But so I would say that the male, what I called was the male, and I think it was, like the dad, it was about 10 feet, 1,200 pounds. The mom was probably almost as tall, maybe 9 to 10 feet. And just as heavy, but more busty. And her arms seemed and shoulders were a little back more, and you could just see all this chest, you know, my mom would be, but all hair covered.
Really quick. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just don't want to forget this. Patty, how would you compare it to Patty from Patterson Gimlin? Was it kind of like that, where it had the bust like that that you're describing? Or
it was kind of like that, but she was bigger, more barrel-like, I guess is what I'm looking for. More barrel-like and longer, thicker hair. And not as much hair, I don't think, on the face as Patty. Less hair on the face. And the hair that the mom and dad both had was very odd that I never expected to see. Their heads were very pointed. And then, like I say, the hair was like long and straight, like the hippie days. You know, like somebody would have long, straight hair just down to their shoulders. And it was like that, just kind of like kind of swaled outward from the top of their head into this, almost like a little curl at the end.
So like no neck kind of look. It was just
no neck, just like, or like just the neck would be just buried in massive football shoulders. And then the head's, you know, the neck comes almost to the top of the head like that, you know, and then it goes into the pointed head. It's kind of all one thing, you know, the start at the top of the head, and it's almost a straight line down to the edge of the shoulders.
Yeah.
It's crazy looking.
What about the kids? Like, what do you think their height was? Like 6 feet, 7 feet, something like that?
I think so. I think that their heights were 6 to 7 feet. And they didn't have as long a hair on their heads, but it looks like it was starting to grow. So it was kind of like down to about maybe their jaw or something. It was kind of long and straight, like some long hair, but not near as long as the parents. And they probably weighed like 700 pounds because they were, even though they're only 6-7 feet.
Still huge.
They're massive. You know, they're still, they had massive shoulders, arms, legs. The chest is very deep on all of them. In fact, when they were going up the mountain, I kind of had a bit of a profile view or a three-quarter view as they were going up. And so I could see how thick they were too. And they were just so thick in the chest, like especially the parents were just almost 3 feet thick, you know?
Yeah.
I would say from the front to the back.
That's scary. Holy crap.
Absurd.
I feel like I was 3 feet thick, but I look like I'm only a foot and a half. So these guys are big.
So yeah, there were some very unusual things about it. It was the fact it was by Salt Lake. And I think the thing that was in retrospect that just hit me the most strange and kind of funny in a way was that they were there watching people for probably all morning until I noticed them.
I love that.
That is so common though. That is so common. You probably know you're into this stuff now. You know, the more that we listen to like Sasquatch Chronicles, right? Great podcast. You know, Wes is amazing and his show's great.
Bigfoot Society.
You know, Bigfoot, all the different ones. But like so many. The more you listen to these stories, the more commonalities you start to hear and find. And that is such a commonality. You know, when you're living in the woods, like these creatures are, I mean, it has to be kind of boring. So like they see us people doing things that we're doing with cars and with, you know, skiing and with all the different things, right? And they're so similar to us in some ways. Kind of humanoid and stuff, especially if you're a kid, like a juvenile, you're like, and that's probably why the parents are like, hey, stay away from them. I feel like that's what they're telling their kids to do, but like they always get caught, you know, it's like they're watching us, they're looking through our windows in the cabin, watching the TV and all the different things, right?
Yeah.
You hear all these stories all the time. Entertainment, they need entertainment.
I think it's funny that there's been several sightings now at ski resorts, and that's where both of my experiences were, at ski resorts. And I can picture one of them finding a snowboard off in the trees, all of a sudden jump on that thing. You know how athletic they are. You know, can you imagine that? All of a sudden one of them jumps on a snowboard and he's coming down the mountain.
All right. Hey, any of our listeners that are artists, let's do a rendition, somebody. Let's get a rendition of like a you know, Bigfoot on a snowboard just coming down. That'd be awesome. Yeah,
I know.
Well, and you know what's crazy, Nathan, is a friend of mine, his name was Brent, and I've told this story on our Sasquatch episode. I can't remember what episode it is, but he told me his story in confidence, and he was like, I don't care. I'm going to shout out from the rooftops. I saw Bigfoot. And he told me he was in Provo Canyon. It was 2019, I think it was. And it was Thanksgiving. It was a couple days before Thanksgiving. So they're spending time with their mother or, you know, parents-in-law's house. And he had like a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old at the time and himself. And they're like, let's just blow off steam. He didn't like his in-laws too much. So he's like, let's just blow off steam. Let's go to the park or something like that. Go to the canyon right here and just hang out until dinner's ready, right? So he went with the kids, and it was just him and his two kids. They parked at this place called Rock – what is it called?
Rock Canyon,
which is in Provo Canyon area. There's a park right there. It's right next to the LDS Temple that's in Provo right there. There was a dumpster right there, pretty good-sized dumpster, probably 5 feet tall, and, you know – barreled, like you're saying, like maybe six feet wide.
7 feet wide, yeah.
And he saw this thing. He wasn't sure what it was. He got out of his car, and he saw this thing. And it was right after Halloween, right? So he thought it was like these BYU students dressing up in a Halloween costume or something. But he's like, if they were in a Halloween costume, it was two people sitting on one on somebody's shoulder because it was, like so you're tall. Saying, 10 feet tall, something huge. And he's like, this looks like a cartoon to me because I'm looking at this and I'm like, why does this look so weird? What is this? And he's looking at this thing and it sees him. And he said it did the mind speak thing to him where it was like, hey, don't worry about me. I'm doing my thing. And then it just hid behind that dumpster. It squatted down and it watched the kids going down on the hill doing ice blocking. So yeah. It's almost the same as skiing or snowboarding. Like anytime we're having recreation, they're enjoying it. You know what I mean?
It was just like hanging out, like watching, like, you know, peering around the.
But it had gray skin, black eyes. It had, he said the funniest part about it was, is it was receding its hair right here. Like he's like, it was an older one because it was balding up top. And he's like, it almost made me laugh because of that.
I have to wonder how many concerts those guys have watched up at Snowboard.
Right.
You know, I'll bet they get attracted down. You know, at night they have a lot of concerts and other events. And everybody's busy. Nobody's going to notice, even if it's sitting in plain sight, just like they were, because they were in the shadow of the mountain. They were, and they didn't look like anything that you'd really go, oh, there's a bear or there's a deer. Or they looked more like a little house.
Right.
They were squatting in the dark, you know, in the shade. It was kind of dark in the shade. But.
You mentioned the idea that, like, the whole face up close thing, like where all of a sudden, like, you saw it face up close. Was that kind of a weird? Was it a mind thing, like a projection? Because, like, what was the distance that you would say? Because I know that stop sign and stuff where you were at, that was kind of a distance, right, from, like, that mountainside.
So what did you
mean by that?
I sent you a drawing, and that drawing kind of gives you an idea, the one where you can see the four lumps on the hill. You get that one?
Yes. And are we allowed to share that? Because we want to share that.
Can we share that on our show? Yeah.
Yeah, you can share all my drawings if you'd like.
Awesome.
So that kind of gives you an idea how far they were. So they were quite a ways over there, but not so far that once they stood up and walked in the sun, I didn't know what they were. Even when they were in the shade, I knew what they were as soon as they stood up. I'm like, because they were so massive. Nothing is that big. It wasn't a bear standing up and walking up the mountain like some people said. Are you sure it wasn't a bear that stood up?
Isn't that funny? That's always the comment. You saw a bear. Yeah. You saw a couple bears. No way.
No, for one thing, there's no 10-foot tall black bears in Utah, you know? They'd like to walk around on their 2 feet, you know?
Right. Circus bears.
Yeah, circus bears. Oh, where was I? But anyway, if you were parked at that, if you go up there and try to recreate where I was at, if you park right behind that stop sign, and then your car's kind of on an angle, and then just look straight up at the mountain, pretty much straight from where you are. The ski runs are a little bit more over to the left, and that looks like maybe it used to be a bunny run. But there's no tow rope there. So it's a little, kind of like a little beginning, because the trees are cleared right there to a degree. And then it turns into forest just above that. So they were sitting, I think there's two like roads that you can see there. And so they were sitting kind of like on the edge of the lower road in a row, perfect little row there. So if you were to go up there and you see that lower road that runs east and west.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was snow covered, but when I've looked at it with Google Maps, I've studied it, you know, in different ways. And it looks like they were sitting there. So I haven't taped it off. But, you know, to get up there where they were, you'd end up traveling farther because you'd go down a little bit into the creek. I think there's a down there anyway, down to the base, and then you'd go up again. It would be farther. But as the line of sight is being shorter, I'm going to say it was probably around 350 feet, maybe 400, just guessing there. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, less than a block. But even if these guys were so big, and even if they were 700 feet away, I would have been like, that thing's huge for how far away it is from me, you know?
The way your drawings were, by the way, your drawings are pretty awesome, by the way. I don't know. You must be an artist, because those are awesome drawings.
Well, I call myself an amateur, but technically I'm a professional, because they say if you've sold your work, you are. And I've sold lots of drawings. I used to do a lot of Native American art, like drawing Indians, like Sitting Bull.
Yeah, I like this one a lot that you did. Yeah.
Cool.
That one's super cool.
That's the male there. So, yeah, I used to do it. I've sold a lot of my stuff. But the other stuff, I don't know if you went to my Art by Malay. It's Art by Malay, all run together on Facebook. And my LLET is my last name. If you go to Art by Malay, there's a whole bunch of art on there. Most of mine's at the bottom. But most of it's very much realism. But you'll see my more fine art.
So really quick, my brother probably wants to ask.
I was gonna say, let's put it on our website. Your Art by Malay. That sounds cool, and people can look into it. But
I know you like your detailed drawing. Like the drawing is so detailed, and you can tell that you saw this thing really up close, like in a way. But you were a distance away. I guess that's my question is like, how did you see it so well? And also, my other part of the two part question: do you think it knew you were watching the whole time? Do you think it knew that you noticed it and them the whole time? Because it kind of seems that way from your story.
Did I notice them the whole time?
No, what my question is, do you think that it knew that you were watching them? Because it kind of feels that way.
Well, yeah, as soon as I pointed, you know, it was probably already looking at me going, uh-oh. Then I pointed out the window right straight at him. And as soon as I pointed, he stood straight up. It was that quick, within 1 second. He didn't, hesitation. He stood straight up, was like, come on. He kind of swatted the female on the back. I tried to pick her up, not swatted, but a little, you know, the little nudge.
Yeah.
Like, let's go. And then he just turned and started walking straight up the hill. So, yeah, he absolutely saw me point, which is really amazing because there was all kinds of people there. The juveniles were like, no, we don't want to go. We're watching the movie.
Yeah, I mean, like you said earlier, he saw you directly and he was looking right at you, which to me, that kind of scared me. When you said that the first time, I was feeling like a little weird, like, man, that's true. That's what they do. And you're literally 400, 300 feet away. And I know exactly what you're talking about with the canyon. For some reason, when you first told us the story, I was thinking it was on the other side of the canyon because that's where I look every time. When I park, I'm looking driver's side, looking towards the north side of the canyon. But this was on the south side where the ski lifts are, like you're saying.
On the south side,
which is even more weird because now they're hanging out by where the ski lifts are. And
it's right by the skiers.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just off to the side of the runs. And then where they walked to was kind of an area that I'm going to say is more old growth that nobody probably hardly ever goes. It gets thick way up there, you know.
Yeah, and there's waterfalls up there and stuff. It's like it's heavy, heavy country up there once you get up to that top section.
That's where the river is, too. That's where all the water runoff is and stuff. So that makes sense because they always like – from what I've heard from stories, they go where water is, you know. Like they find the – just like all animals, where the water is where you survive. Makes sense.
So, but back to that Mindspeak thing, I want to mention again that it was like right when he looked at – after he did the wave, then he turned and he was already kind of turned, so he just was – then he looked straight at me. And at that moment, I thought to myself, oh, my gosh, I wish I could see him close. I want to see his face close. And as soon as I thought that, it was like he read my mind. Okay, and then all of a sudden, he was right there, and I could just see him, like with my mind's eye or something. I don't know. But, I mean, I could see him clear. I drew a picture of him. I couldn't have done that kind of detail without seeing him up close. So, I mean, and I got just that few seconds to really kind of see. I knew just how he looked. That small triangular forehead.
Yeah.
And then just kind of a wider face on the bottom. And then the whiskers on the bottom, but the face pretty much all clear of no hair on the face. Kind of a wide nose, but again, somewhere in between a human and kind of gorilla or almost Neanderthal looking.
So the nose was like more human than gorilla, though? Or was it kind of a good mix, like you're saying?
Let me put it this way. Most Sasquatch paintings that I see, they make it look too ape-like.
That's what that's exactly what I was thinking in my head.
Yeah. What I saw. It looked a little more human-like to me, the whole face, except for just, you know, different.
They call it like a hooded nose, right? Like, so like with the apes, they have this exposed nostril thing that you can totally see. But with humans, like, and like all of us, we have this hooded nose that kind of covers those nostrils, unless you're like this, right? Looking upwards.
Right. So this was actually, I'm going to say, kind of somewhere in between.
Okay, gotcha.
It was kind of hooded, but it wasn't really exposed like an ape either. And that's kind of what I tried to portray on my drawing. I don't know that I really got it just right, but if you have it right there.
Yeah, I do. It looks like exactly what you're saying, you know? Yeah, this nose literally looks like what you're saying. Big open nostrils, human nose pretty much. Like, look at that. That's a human nose.
He had like a human look on his face too, just like he was intelligent.
Like, that's what's so creepy is like, you probably have heard stories too, but like, these hunters are out in a blind, right? Let's say, and they're out there hunting, bow hunting or whatever. And they're out there and they see this thing walk across the, you know, the pathway, and it looks at them and they're like, I had it in my crosshairs. I wanted to shoot it. But the problem is it looks so human and it had this human expression and it knew that I was there.
So it's like, is that murder at that point?
Yeah. Killing somebody, you know, with
I wouldn't shoot one, not unless I was fighting for my life like I would with any human. Yeah. I mean, I definitely would not just go, hey, there's Squatch, I'm going to shoot it and I'll have proof, you know, screw that proof. And I think that's another reason I never got my shot is it was more about, I always feel like things like that, the experience was for me. And if I sit and try to take pictures and try to prove it to anybody, my picture's not going to prove anything anyway. I'll just get insulted worse than I already am because, oh, I didn't get a picture. Oh, I had to draw pictures of it. Oh, then it wasn't true because I didn't get a picture. My phone was in my hand. Well, people can think whatever they want and naysayers are always going to be naysayers.
100%.
You know what's crazy is you know, my brother and I, we're Hopi native. We have a lot of Hopi in us. And
okay.
So we're really into the whole Native American stuff. We get really into that stuff. We do a lot of research on it, and not just Hopi, but, you know, all the different Four Corners, you know, groups and stuff and tribes. And what's crazy is that's such a common thing. And a lot of them believe that they're like these interdimensional. They kind of treat them like they're interdimensional creatures, and that they show themselves to certain individuals on purpose. And you mentioned that it was meant for you. And that's interesting, because that seems to be the case sometimes, where it's like certain people have multiple experiences and it's only them that see them, and other people never have the life in their whole lifetime. They never get the chance to see one of these things. And it just makes me wonder, are they picking and choosing certain individuals because they're, you know, like calm hearted and good spirited people, or like, you know what I mean? Like, and that's kind of what it seems like, but
I mean,
your thoughts.
I kind of almost agree with that in a way, because at least everything that I've been studying about on other people's experiences and just things that people have been learning about them, they always, you know, there's some, in fact, I have some stuff I was thinking of doing. I don't know what I'm going to do with it yet, but it was written by a Native American, and he claimed to have all these conversations with a Sasquatch, and it told him a lot of things. And that was one of the things, is that they pretty much always know who's around, where they're at, and how to avoid them or allow them to see them. And so that was, you know, told to this Native American who was, kind of learned their language or something. They communicated back and forth, but it was mind speak, I think, is really what was going on. That's why they were communicate, was the mind speak. The Native American, a lot of them, you know, the old elders and that have that ability of telepathy, I'm sure you know.
Yeah.
So, and he was able to do that with it, but that's another whole story.
Yeah. Well, I believe that, and I believe it wholeheartedly. And I will say, like, even recently, I was watching a YouTube channel with another Bigfoot podcast, and the guy's like, you know, I'm a Bigfoot researcher. I'm over here in New Jersey or something like that. It was definitely like Northeast, you know. And he's like, I have this Native friend of mine that comes with me, and he's got this connection where when they go out into the woods, when he steps out in the woods, he goes, they're not here. But then when he steps out sometimes, he'll walk in and be like, they're here. I don't know where, but they're here. And every time he says that, they have an experience. It's a tree knock. It's a vocalization. It's a, let's get the heck out of here, because we're going to be in trouble soon. It's those types of things. So I believe there's definitely some truth there. It's weird to me, man, because you had an experience. I had an experience. My brother hasn't had an experience yet.
Except for the bluff charge.
Oh, the bluff charge. I guess that would be an experience. Yeah, you're right. I had a visual experience like yours at the side of a car as well. I'll just tell you a really quick synopsis of it. Yeah, so I was driving back. So my brother and I were actually in the car together. We were working for a company. We're both property managers for apartments, right? So we're both managers. And we were at this manager retreat, right? And it was in Logan, Utah. I think it was the Hilton or something like that up in Logan. And as we're driving back, this was probably 2019, 2018, something like that. So a year or two after your experience. And we're driving back, and it's winter. It's like late January, I will say. And I'm driving a little Saturn, two-door, white, old-school 97 Saturn, right? Roman's in the passenger seat. I'm in the driver's seat. We're driving down the canyon. And as we're driving towards, like, Salt Lake, I had this inkling, one of those weird things where there's a lake on one side, canyon on this side. It's all mountains. It's all snowy, but it's clear roads. Obviously, it's not snowing right at that moment. And I look to the right, and I see, it's exactly what you're saying, the tree stump I was thinking at first. But it looked like, to me, it looked like a totem pole, because its arms were sitting straight out like this. And I was like, is that like a totem pole? So I'm just trying to stare at this while I'm driving, mind you. I shouldn't be looking over to my right, looking at the camera. And I'm driving, right? And Roman's like, what are you looking at? What are you looking at? I'm like, I don't know. And I'm looking over. And as I'm looking over, this totem pole thing that I think is a totem pole, it's pure black, right next to the edge of the canyon, and there's trees on the one side of it. It puts its arms down and takes one big step into the forest. All I know is the arms were triple the size of a human's, and the body, that's why I thought it was a totem pole, because I thought it was like, I don't know, 15 feet tall and like...
I wonder why its arms were out.
Yeah. I almost wonder if it was like acting something out like a tree, and then it just took like a weird turn and just went up the canyon. And it was weird because it was like it was noticing me again. But why? Yeah. Why? There was another car driving right by me too, but it noticed I was looking at it or something weird. You know what I mean? It was weird. And I was thankful to see it. But why? Why was it just me that saw it? Roman's like, what did you see? I'm like, I think I just saw Bigfoot.
I think that's cool. So it turned and then walked into the trees?
Yeah.
After it had its arms.
Yeah, it was like this, and then it turned and walked into the wood line. There was a wood line right there, and
it was kind of just like it was like this, acting it out, staying like super straight, and then it went and then it took a step.
I think that's part of how they must camouflage is just getting in a certain shape and holding still.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think anybody else would have noticed what it was. I think, we weren't even doing our podcast yet. It was more like we believed in this stuff, similar to what you're saying. I believed in it. I was open to it, but I just saw something weird and it caught my eye because to me, it was blacker than black. It was blacker than the rest of the forest right there. So I'm like, what is this sticking out in the middle of this pure snow looking skate? And then there's these black trees right here, but this is blacker than those tree stems. So I'm like, what is this? And then that's when it took that turn. So what's weird to me, and I don't know what your thoughts are on this, but they say like Bigfoot, I've done a little research, like bisons and buffalo have this fur that doesn't reflect sun at all.
Absorbs light. Light goes into their fur and stays in their fur. It's the weirdest thing. So people have hit bison like in Yellowstone because they come around a corner and their headlights are shining right on them. And the light goes into the fur and stays in the fur.
It doesn't reflect at all.
Fur. It's the weirdest
thing. I could see that with them. Now, the ones I saw were very dark chocolate brown, and they were all about the same shape, but I'd say they weren't quite black. And I was just curious, what the one you saw, was it black? Or
It could have been very chocolate brown, but it was like dark. 3 p.m. Yeah. And it was, the sun wasn't shining
shaded
on it.
The mountain.
So it shaded it out more. And so that would make sense that it looked black to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you could have been, you could be 100% right on that. But yeah.
Some of them are black. You know, I know there's all different ones. You know, people see white ones.
Yeah.
Big blonde ones.
Red ones. Yeah, different colors. For
red
sure.
ones. Yeah. That red's fairly common. I think some of those are like the red ones and that are more usually, I think, back east.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They got the skunk ape down there.
Skunk ape. Yeah. It's like the orangutan color. Well, yeah, those ones are more like human looking and more dreadlock looking and more blacks. And yeah, they're.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you, because you mentioned the whole, you obviously know your stuff. You did some research and stuff, because you had the comment about usually they're like these big buff looking things. You see all these muscles and stuff. And right, yours didn't, you could see all the hair and stuff mostly, but you could tell they were huge.
I knew they were massive muscles underneath that hair. I knew I could tell, but I couldn't really see the definition because they had so much hair.
What I think that is because we're so far north, like we're in the mountain zone, right? We're like mountain
terror. Yeah.
And so I wonder if it just has something to do with like just keeping them warm, right? Like a survival
thing. The elevation and the temperatures were that
high. I think when you go like down south, like you're saying, like you go to the Florida areas and the Arkansas and, you know, or you go like back east and stuff where I know back east is really cold too, but like I just think some of these areas that are not so mountainous, like they may not need so much fur. And then you see all these like massive muscles on them. Out here, they still have the muscles. You just can't see it because it's all the hair.
Also in Alaska, and I would say here and going up to Alaska, they seem to get bigger and bigger too, maybe even up through Canada and Alaska. I think there's some bigger sightings up in Alaska than even here, you know, and very hairy like here, big, huge, massive. I think they're bigger.
All animals get bigger as you go more north, right? That's kind of a normal thing. Like grizzlies.
Yeah, I mean, I think in general they do. You know? And so I think it's kind of the same with the Sasquatches. They're bigger in the further north in Alaska, and they get a little bit smaller to here, which they're still huge here, but they're smaller in the east.
Right. So how did it end? Did they go off and then they disappeared, or did you drive off and you couldn't see them anymore?
So what happened actually is they kind of went where I'm trying to think. I think there was kind of like a little ridge that was, I couldn't see it, the whole things of them as they were walking. And so I thought, I'm going to pull up this hill. You know, you can pull back up the hill by the highway right there.
Yeah.
So I was like, I got to pull up here so I can get a good picture, you know? So I hit the gas and I pulled up the top of the hill and parked, and I looked over again, and then they were just all walking right into the trees. I was too late. You know, they didn't go through any portals. They didn't disappear. I know some people see that stuff, but I didn't. I watched right where they went. They went, they turned and walked up in. So if you can imagine, like from that point where you're looking out from that first stop sign, they walked probably 50 huge paces, I'm going to say, to get up to that. And they kind of curved as they went up, heading towards the west, towards Salt Lake. Right there, just as I was getting my camera up, they walked right into the woods.
What's cool about your sighting is that you had witnesses with your family and stuff that had kind of seen what you were seeing. Did you guys talk about this afterwards? Like, is this a conversation that came up a couple times?
Oh, yeah. My wife and I, my son didn't see it too good. I don't think he was sure what he saw. He was very young, about 11.
Wow.
But he was kind of sitting behind like some luggage and stuff that was in the middle of the back seat. So he was trying to see around and the roof was in the way, but my wife was able to see it. And so she and I talked a lot about it. We were amazed with it when we got home. That's all we could talk about all the way home is those Sasquatch we saw, you know. And I did tell some of my other family. I have a lot of family in Salt Lake and stuff, and we go there to visit a lot. And I did tell some of them about it, my kids and that. But they try to believe, but I could tell there was still that little spark
something
of disbelief.
Off. I love the way you say it. They try to believe.
Maybe Dad's losing it, you know?
Yeah. No, you're not losing it. We believe you, man. You know, hey, whatever. Naysayers, like you said, they're everywhere, and there's no way if ends or buts about it. But I don't know if you're ready to segue into his Colorado one.
Yeah, let's get into that. But really, right before we do that, I just want to say just what we're saying right now is just that, no, like your story is identical to so many stories. Like what you're describing is what people see. It's like the conical head.
Incredible evidence,
you know, the triangular head. It's like the no neck, the, you know, the broad shoulders,
the
are
gray skin.
4 or 5 feet wide, you know, like. This is something that everybody says. Like everybody says the same thing. Huge eyes that are like massive, right? And so, oh, I wanted to talk about the eyes really quick. I had one question. Did you think those eyes felt like they absorbed the sunlight a little bit? There was this weird comment about
they were surprising looking when they is in the dark in the shade. They did look black. When I got the close up look, when he was in the sun and then he looked at me and the sun was on his face, I couldn't believe how golden his eyes were. It was just like, almost like they were absorbing the sun or something, but like they were actually kind of pretty eyes, big, giant, kind of almond shaped, so golden. I just couldn't believe how golden they were. And I don't know that I've really heard that a lot, but that's how that one looked.
I've heard that. I've heard the amber, the golds. I've definitely heard that. Yeah. And even during the day, like you're saying, it's not just like the amber at night kind of thing. I've heard the gold before. The two things I literally hear all the time, and I've obviously done, who am I? I'm not some expert or anything like that. But what I've looked into is it's like horse eyes. It's just almonds, pitch black, almond-style eyes, things like that, which is really intriguing.
Those are the red, though, the red eyes. I couldn't believe that. I guess a lot of people see them with red eyes.
Yeah, I've heard that, too.
And it's like self-illuminated. Like it almost like lights itself on its own. There's no like
– yeah.
You know, but you know what's weird, too, is the other thing I was going to say with your thing – is it was October. What I keep hearing, because I follow like Cliff and Bobo and those guys that do a lot of research on Bigfoot, and I think the most common times to see a Bigfoot that the most active is fall and spring.
And spring.
Like those two times. And so like right now, we should go out there and
look. Well, my sighting was early spring, like almost spring. Yours was almost winter, like late fall, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of cool to see that.
Well, actually, this other one in Colorado was about the same time, I think, because it was towards, I would go up and work all summer on these condos, and then towards, and in fall, that's when I would come home, when it's starting to snow, you know. And so I would say it was probably getting close to September, either end of August or early September, when I had this other experience, not a sighting, but experience in Winter Park. So I was staying at these condos and where I was working. And you have a lot of green belts there that is just forested area that's kind of in between like really nice neighborhoods and condominiums. And then you'll have like some green belts that kind of go throughout things. And so that's what this is there's a big green belt there that kind of comes around, and there's little streams that come down through there and springs. And so there's that green belt between the condos there and the neighborhood and town, Little Winter Park, ski resort town. And so sometimes we would walk downtown at night to have a beer. We'd just use our cell phones to see the trail. We'd walk through these trails in the forest at night, you know, which now I don't think I would do.
Hey, I'm right there with you. If I'm getting a beer out of it, I'm right there with you. So,
but anyway, so we're walking through, and then I told my friends, it kind of comes down in a dip right there, and it goes up to some tracks where it's lighted. Well, I'm in the forest, but I says, hey, I'll catch up with you in a minute. I got to relieve myself. So they went on up, and I just stepped just off the trail there, and I had to relieve myself. And I felt like something eerie, like something was watching me, you know. I kept looking up the canyon there, like, this is weird, you know. And then so then I went, hey, I'm getting out of here. And then I walked on up the trail. And just as soon as I got, I'm going to say it was only 100 feet from where I was at, I just came up to the top of the trail into the light with the tracks, and they're waiting for me. And here comes like six people coming down to go down the trail. Well, just as they're walking up and just as I walked out, all of a sudden we heard this hellacious roar, and it came from, I'm going to say, right where I relieved myself. And he was telling me, don't ever mark in my territory. This is my woods.
Oh, yeah, probably.
And that was very clear. And it was so, it was like, I couldn't even imitate it. I'll try, but it was like, whoa! But it was just 100 times amplified, like a roar, almost like a combined with, I don't know, it was just like human sounding, but way louder, but like almost animal sounding. Like a, but it was long.
Have you heard the Ohio sounds? The Ohio sounds? Have you heard that before?
It was like that, but it wasn't as smooth. It was more of an angry roar. It was a roar growl, and it shook your whole body. Ugh. Oh, my guys, I mean, you could just feel penetrating into our body, our chest. And all these people were coming to go down there. Everybody goes, uh-uh. And everybody turned and said, let's take the long way on the road, you know. And we did, too, when we came back. In fact, actually, we kind of felt sick to our stomachs. It vibrated us in a weird way. And two of my guys actually got sick and had to go home early because they took, they, of course, they took the road home. They were like, I'm not walking back through there, you know.
That sounds like infrasound, though. Have you heard of infrasound before?
I have, and it was something like that. I feel like there was something about that frequency that was different. I can't even expand on how loud it was. The decibels were just, I've been in the mountains in the woods long enough. I've heard mountain lions scream. I've heard bears growl. I've had bears right up to me. I know what's what out there.
Yeah.
And it was not any of those.
Did it have a high pitch part of it? Like, or was it more like, oh, like you're saying?
It
like,
was just, kind of both. It had all the tones.
A mix of both.
It's always both.
Got it.
Very full. So I had a little bit of high tones, but it was mostly mid and deep tones.
You know what's funny is we were in Idaho. It's a place called Crouch, Idaho. And my brother and I were, it's a really small town. It's literally just an Airbnb cabin that we're staying in with some buddies, his wife. This painter over there was the only dude that worked in town, and he was at the liquor store, and he was sitting on the truck bed drinking beers, like on the job, I'm sure. So it was one of those small towns where you never know what's going on over there. But we were over there, and Roman's like, hey, my brother here, he's like, let's do some wood knocks or something. Let's just see what happens. So he's over there and he does. I'm like, no, for me, I'm like, I'm not a huge, I was like nervous about it. Right. I was like, I don't think that's a good idea, but he goes over there and he starts hitting the wood on the tree and across the way, far away on the other canyon.
I told my brother, I'm like, that's something, dude. That's, I don't know what that is, but that is so.
I was answering you. The only thing I worry about doing stuff like that, like wood knocks or trying to do roars, is because I don't know what I'm saying to them.
Yeah, what are we doing? Are we provoking or what?
I might be cussing them out, you know, and then they're going to get mad. So I don't dare do that stuff.
So I heard this thing about the wood knocks, that it's supposedly like a, because usually they're not by themselves, which it's funny because a lot of people believe there's just one Bigfoot. No, there's multiples. Usually there's one that you see. But there's five others that are behind you that you don't see, right? In the woodliner.
They are very clannish. I think they
they're very clannish. And I think what the wood knock is it's kind of a way to say how many individuals they're dealing with. So like, if it's people, they'll do like three wood knocks if there's three people to like tell the others there's three people.
I do want to tell you one thing. So with your Utah experience real quick, and I know we're getting pretty close to the end here, the tail end, but, and thank you again for telling us this stuff.
Oh,
this
we appreciate it.
Really cool.
Time.
So in Provo Canyon, right, which is also Utah, but it's the next people that aren't from Utah. There's Cottonwoods that are part of the Salt Lake County. And then if you just go south of that, there's like Timpanogos Cave. It's like the southern areas where there's like that, the American Alpine. Fork, Alpine area. Yeah. And then there's Provo Canyon, which I know you're familiar with. I see you nodding over there. But from Provo Canyon, if you drive in there and there's like this place called Tibble Fork, and that's where they have like a, you can curve around and go back to Timpanogos right there where there's a really popular cave. There's a canyon up there called Ape Canyon in Utah. Now, why the hell would they call a canyon Ape Canyon in Utah? And that's where we're like literally the hotspot of almost all sightings are is Provo Canyon.
Right in that zone.
What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's really interesting. I think that probably did come from, you know, maybe the Native Americans that were there originally.
I'm thinking.
Maybe in their own language called that Ape Canyon. And so then it carried over, and the white man, when they came, then they just picked up, they'll oftentimes do that and call. So they just kept calling it So I find a similarity in that to, I don't want to take too long here, but this is a little different. But if you heard of the Dogman sighting,
oh, yeah,
up here at Wolf Creek Canyon, right? Not too far from me, Wolf Creek Pass. Think about it for a minute. It's named Wolf Creek Pass. And we haven't had wolves here for a long time. They're finally planting some now. But, I mean, that's right at Wolf Creek Pass is where he saw this dog man, or what he said was really more like a wolf man.
I think there's definitely, honestly, I think there's a lot more truth to this stuff, to the names. Maybe if it wasn't the natives, it might have been the pioneers. They're coming. Imagine them coming through with Porter Rockwell and all those crazy people, and they're coming through, and all of a sudden they're like, what is that? This is Ape Canyon. There's apes right here. I
mean,
you know what I mean?
I mean, what else would you name it? Like, let's say you go to Colorado. What was cool about Colorado? I went to Colorado a couple times, and what's cool about Colorado is they have these cool, like, purple sand and purple rocks, almost a purple tone to it. That's very unique that I haven't seen in Utah. We have, like, the red rock.
We have the grays, you know, the reds, and stuff. The tans.
But what's cool about Colorado, I've never seen purple sand before, purple rocks, and you see that there, and it's really cool. So, like, I would have come up with a name like that, right? But you come up with Ape Canyon or Wolf, you know, whatever. It's like there's a reason they're naming it that. You know, there's a lot of other things you could say, you know. Makes sense.
I mean, because they're not supposed to be apes in America. That's Africa, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, 100%.
Now we find out there are, I mean, are these things like a Neanderthal carryover? Or I've heard some people say, one guy was saying that he thought there was two different types. One was more Neanderthal. Like, and the other one was actually more like a hybrid of ape and human like.
Would you say it was more human like or animal like?
In general,
I would say the hair is deceiving, and then it's more human like. In fact, I believe that they may not have the technology that we have, but I think in ways they're way more advanced than we are. And I kind of tend to agree with people that say they can go through portals, can be interdimensional. I don't know why these didn't with me, if they didn't want to, or they just didn't want to show that part of them, or they weren't in the right place or what, but I do believe that they can do that. But I also believe there are more hybrids with humans than people realize. There's actually several experiences that are coming out now of women that have been kidnapped that had a Bigfoot baby.
I've heard that.
I've heard of this too.
Have you heard of Xana?
Yeah, I think so.
The ape from Russia that was like an ape woman that was supposedly a Bigfoot and a woman.
Yeah, if you go on to Talk About Strange, his podcast, there's two or three or four there of women that were kidnapped, and they tell their whole stories from, and one of them, two of them were kidnapped and taken to, they were not very nice squatches. These actually had these makeshift cages that were made out of branches and stuff, and they put these girls in the cage, and they were breeding with them, and they'd get them, they just kept getting them pregnant because they were trying to increase their numbers because they were going to take on this other clan. This all takes place over on Prince Wales Island.
Okay, so now that we're getting way crazy into this fringe side of things, all right, what are your thoughts on, now you said more human-like, now we're talking about interdimensional. What are your thoughts on what Bigfoot really is? Like, give us your best take on what you think Bigfoot is.
It just keeps kind of evolving what my take is, but for a long time, I just kind of was more of the mindset that they are more like animals, and we don't find them because they bury their bones or they take them to inaccessible places. And they live in, like, caves mostly, and they could pull a rock in front of the cave or a tree that we could never move. So we would never know there was a cave there. I think that I believe that they do live a lot like that. However, I also believe that, and I don't know if this is all of them, maybe, probably, but I think some or all of them are interdimensional. And that part of it, I'm not sure I totally understand, but I think that they're very advanced. The fact that they have reportedly used mind speak or telepathy over and over again with people that are can even maybe more up to being able to receive it. I don't know. Maybe they can do it with anybody, but that right there, I think, shows how advanced they are. And so that's why I say, now, some of the things I've recently learned too is that they literally live hundreds and thousands of years. This came from some of the stories off of Prince Wales Island. You might want to look into that. They literally live hundreds of thousands of years, the one that communicated with that Native American, he told him that most of them died by the human hand, and it's actually the Black Ops government. It's a undercover operation, and they keep killing them off, and it's because, he said, this one squatch told this Native American, it's because they have a high vibration, and they want to help us raise our vibrations and communicate with us and be like it was in the old days when we knew about them and they knew about it when we worked together. And so he told this Native American all this, And he said, that's why, he said, right now we're very like slaves. We're controlled by a corrupt government, and the corrupt government wants to keep us from knowing about them because they'll help increase our vibrations. So I think they are. I think that they're interdimensional. I think they have very long lifespans if they're allowed to, and humans aren't killing them.
You really could be onto something. That's amazing. I've heard that a couple times from many sources. We're so into this, you know, subject. So I've heard this.
Have you heard of Tom Seawood from Alaska? He's a native guy as well. Tom Seawood?
Sounds familiar, but I've watched so much, I'm not sure.
He calls himself a concrete Indian. He's like, I had to go in the bush. I have to go in the bush as much as I can because I'm a concrete Indian. I've lived in the city for too long. And then he'll go on a walkabout in the woods in Alaska for months on end and live in the woods. And he has all kinds of Bigfoot experiences. But yeah, Alaska, Prince Wales, that kind of area. Here's what the problem is with a lot of people, right? Why does it become like a fight between like interdimensional versus just animal science? Yeah. I'm like, the Cliffs of the world. There's a guy named Cliff Brackman. He's very great. He has a really good insight on everything. He has a museum about Bigfoot. He's into tune with everybody that's in this world. But he says it's an animal. It could be. It looks like an animal. It acts like an animal. Acts like a human. It looks like a mix of both. It's physical. It kills deer. It does things that are very physical. Mm-hmm. But then there's things.
Some of them have fire. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
But then there's things like the weird things, the orbs that are around them. There's the weird mirage type look around them that where it looks like they're going into portals or something like you're saying. Why can't we catch up to them? Maybe they're burying their bodies like we do, but maybe there's something even bigger than that. Maybe they're just going into a different dimension that we can't get to. The reason I'm bringing all this up, and it's like we're going all over the place tonight. Have you looked into the missing 411 stuff at all? Familiar?
Not too much. I've heard of it.
So like missing 411 is like there's just a bunch of people going missing in like national forests and they can't find them. It's like Yosemite. It's like Yellowstone. There's just a big group of people going
missing. I have actually seen a lot of that.
My take on this is like you're saying, maybe there's caves. Maybe there's huge caves because there's a ton of caves in the North American area. But maybe it's something else. Maybe it's like an actual interdimensional situation that's happening where they're taking people to. So I don't know. I mean, it sounds like you're on a similar page to us with that. What a weird situation, right? These creatures, these whatever.
It is. And, you know, it's one thing, too, that's interesting is you hear a lot of really bad things about them, but also a lot of really good things about them, too. Like there's experiences where they've saved people's lives.
Totally.
And little kids' lives. You've probably seen some of those. So I think that we have to go back to, again, there's so much like us. There's so much like people because we have some really good people and some really bad, evil people.
Yep.
You know, and so maybe they're the same way where there's a lot of really good ones and some that aren't so good.
Talking about where it's coming down on you or something like that.
I'll tell you that one really quick if you have just a few minutes.
Absolutely.
So I get kind of new age sometimes. I was following some channels and they were talking about how there's these UFOs, these ETs are going to be coming. They're the welcoming committee. We're going to be starting this. Anyway, it's all this stuff. So we're moving up to 5D, all that. It's all that stuff. If you've heard of, you know, the ascension and all this. So I get kind of into that stuff. But they actually told some of their names. Saint Germain was one of them and Prince Sananda. And it was supposed to be one and the same as Jesus. Oh, it's gone.
What's that?
Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, we're still here. Okay. Yeah, we're still here.
Yeah.
Okay. I guess they didn't want me to say that. They put a big thing over.
So when you said Jesus, it closed it out or what?
Yeah, as soon as I said Jesus, a big pop-up.
There you go.
So anyway, they said, if you don't believe us, just ask us. So again, I was in Winter Park at the time. So I almost like praying. I'm just talking to him. I'm driving around the canyon and I said, okay, if you guys are for real, show yourselves to me. I really would like to see you. So then the next day or two was when I was due to go home for the season. And so, my wife came up and my helper helped. We all packed my trucks up and we started driving. I asked my helper to drive my truck and my wife was behind. So we were coming back from Winter Park. And by the time we were coming in through Springs, Colorado Springs and just south of it, there's a power plant there. But all the way from Springs, I kept noticing a big, huge light, and it seemed to be like right over the freeway. And I'm thinking, how can this thing that big be right over the I-25? We're coming down. It's coming towards us slowly, and we're coming towards it in heavy traffic, by the way. It was like rush hour traffic. And so there's lots of cars on the freeway, and here's this thing coming. And I didn't say nothing to her yet because she didn't believe in UFOs, my helper. And so I'm sitting there watching it. All of a sudden, it just happened so quickly. It was all of a sudden right there. And this thing was as big as a football field wide and only maybe a couple of hundred feet above the highway. And it just came slowing down, and the top of it was like a saucer shape, and it had like windows, and almost like we were seeing people inside or ETs. And on each side, it was like kind of like, you know, the Star Trek ship.
Yeah.
I hate to compare with movies. The pontoons weren't in back. They were bigger, and they were directly on either side, on each side. And they were giant pontoons with a big saucer shape in the middle.
Yeah.
And then it kind of swooped down more angular at the base. I says, Teresa, you tell me what that is. She goes, I have now seen an unidentified flying object. Just like that. And I go, pull over. So she pulled off the exit for the power plant, but it drops down into a big dip. So it kind of was out of sight for a minute. I said, pull back on the freeway and stay on the side. Because it looked like it had stopped. It did not keep coming. So she pulled back up, pulled right on the shoulder, and it pulled, coasted up and stopped right there, right over our heads. And this thing was, I'm going to say, 700 to 800, maybe 1,000 feet wide. And just, it only had one red light on top flashing. And then the only other lights, as far as lights that were lit. Oh, the other thing, I feel strange. It had white lights on each marker corner of this pontoons. But the reason it had looked like a big light is there's like 30 foot in diameter headlights on the front of each pontoon.
Oh, wow.
And they could kind of turn just a little bit. And this thing was totally silent. So that's what I was seeing when it was far away. They looked like one light. But as I saw it, just as it got close, they like separated. I could see it was two lights. That's what I said to her. You tell me what that is, you know? So anyway, so right when she pulled off, I jumped out of the truck and I'm standing under this thing, looking right up into the belly of it. It was centered right over me. And the whole bottom of it was like this kind of bright LED greenish color outlined around all these windows you couldn't see through. It looked like windows. They looked like some kind of windows with this lighting around it. So she also got to see this, and she saw me standing under it and all that. And I'm standing under this UFO that if I put my arms all the way out like this, that's how big it was. You couldn't see the sky. It only lasted for, it's hard to say, I'm going to say maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And I just sat and stared at it, and I felt like it was honestly downloading me, or I was connecting with it somehow. It had this really warm, loving feeling coming into me. Then that was it. It didn't make a sound. Then it just started going off, and it went away from the freeway. It had been coming down the freeway all the time and moving away. And I'm just sitting there watching it. And the whole time I'm fiddling with my phone, like, I got to get a picture of this. But I couldn't take my eyes off of it. I was afraid it was going to just be gone. Yeah. I couldn't look down. And so I'm just watching it fly away. And then I looked off to the side, and here came, it was a cubicle one. I got pictures right here.
That does look like the Star Trek thing.
Wow.
Pretty much.
This was looking up at the bottom straight up.
I can see that, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
There's another view of it, but I didn't get the bottom right.
That is unique, though.
Very intricate looking.
This is another.
Wow, the bottom's very intricate. Like, what do you make of the bottom? That's crazy.
It looks like it actually had a hatch, like doors right at the bottom. So as it flew away, it was like there was these other two disc-shaped UFOs that were small and a cubicle one. So it looked like this. And they were like flying alongside just to the back, like flying security.
Oh, wow.
Oh, weird.
Those are literally cubes, like connected.
Yeah, it was like, it didn't even look like it could fly.
Huh.
It was just cubes just floating along there. And it was like, and then they turned and they followed the ship. So
wow.
The funniest thing about this, too, is it was right next to Fort Carson, right next to the airport where their tower is and their all their air controllers and their flashing red light. This happened right there. I mean, like hundreds of feet from there.
Holy cow.
From their airport. And so I think that's why these guys were flying security. I think these were the other UFOs. That's all I could figure out, is they were like protecting it.
Yes.
What's the circle inside the cube? What is that referencing?
I don't know, other than it looked like it had a bright blue light inside of one of the cubes, and like it was almost transparent looking. So it was almost like when you draw a cube.
Yeah.
You can see the other back parts of the cube. See kind of how I did here.
Yeah, the back side of it. You can see the
back side. I didn't do that one line, but it was literally like you could see the back sides like it was transparent. You could see the whole cube of all of them. And then the one had like a big blue light right in the middle.
Wow.
And I'm thinking it was a weapon, like some kind of nuclear thing.
The big blue light was a weapon, you think? Yeah.
I think so, but that was just my hunch.
How do they not? I mean, I think they notice. I think they know what's going on. I think they're scared. They're not going to tell the public. I don't know. What are your thoughts? If it's that close, well, how did they not know what was going on?
Let me just tell you what happened after that then, because, immediately when we got home, I did a sighting, or I told my experience to the National UFO Bureau or something called something like that. The guy says, I'm so excited to hear from you. I've had two calls already of people that saw you standing under the UFO. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I told him where I was, and I was standing under the UFO. And he says, two people have already told me about this sighting. And I was
wow.
And I was like, oh, my gosh. He says, write all this down and send it to me. So I did. So they put it in the archives. My wife told me later that day, and she didn't even know about how I had asked him to come to me. She told me later, she says, that UFO came for you. And I looked at her, and I was like, it did, huh? And remember I told you I had asked them to show themselves.
Yeah.
Well, I would have rather seen their bodily person, but I guess the ship is the most impressive thing in a way.
And yeah, you're the only one that noticed it as much as you did, and your helper.
Yeah, I was thinking, like, the other people on the freeway didn't stop or anything.
They had to have seen it. I don't know how you could miss it.
Yeah. How do you miss
it? It was just covering the whole sky.
If it's a football field long or bigger, that's crazy, you know? It's like, wow.
Yeah, it was like, it was giant. If a thing would have landed, it would have had a pontoon on this side of the freeway going that way and one on the other side of the freeway going the other way. The other thing I wanted to say when you said, what's my take on it, is after that happened, I started having really weird cars, and I lived way out in the country where there was nobody down in Walsenburg. Mm-hmm. Really weird cars and trucks that would hide by my house and watch my house.
Mm. Like unmarked black vehicles or something like that?
Yeah, and I tried to chase one of them too, and he like disappeared. I don't know where he went. And I had a pretty quick truck. I took him off guard, and I took off after him. And
wow.
I got around the corner, and he just disappeared. There was nowhere he could have gone. I don't know. But anyway, I did. I've had a lot of people stalk me since then. A lot of cars follow me, watch me. And
you're getting too close, you know? You're getting too close.
It's because Fort Carson was right there, and they saw the whole thing. And they're like, yeah. We want to know who that guy is. Why is this thing stopping over his head? I still don't know other than I asked him to.
Yeah.
Have you ever, late to this, but have you ever had any weird experiences as a kid that you felt could have been
anything
alien related
to this? Yeah.
Your dreams or anything like that especially as you're a kid. I think it happens a lot when you're children.
I've had some weird experiences as a kid, but I'm not going to say that they were really ET related. It was more astral projection. But most of my UFO, anything to do with ETs, I can't say I was ever abducted that I remember unless I erase my memory. So one time when my oldest son, who's 33 now or 34, he says, Dad, I wish I could see a UFO. And we were way up on the Ponsagon on our 20 acres up by Bryce Canyon in God's country. Beautiful sky there. Beautiful. And I said, well, there's not a better sky to ever see one. I says, why don't we lay by the fire here and see if we can see a UFO? And so me and my dad and my son, we all three generations laid down right there by the fire.
Yeah.
And it was only 5 minutes, 5 minutes. They heard us talking. They knew what my little boy wanted to see.
Yeah.
And this UFO came along, and it was the regular disc shape. I would say it was maybe no more than 50 to 100 feet across. And then, but as it came, it just slowed down and it came close. So it was literally half the size of the moon. That's how big it was and how close it was. Mm-hmm. And as it slowed down, it was throwing these beautiful orange and red and blue, all these colors off the tail.
Wow.
It was like somehow it was the friction or something. As it slowed down, you could see more color and more tail. And then as it picked up again, it was just kind of like came down, said, hi, here we are. Man. Just for you, son, for my little boy. That's who it was for, my five-year-old. And it just slowly went up. And then it took off and phew, then it was gone. It did the high speed.
What's weird is like your Bigfoot thing in some ways is similar to that, where you're like, I want to see you, like show me yourself. It's such a similar thing where like all of a sudden it does. It just listens. It can tell what you're thinking.
It's one thing that I've practiced through my life is tried to practice telepathy, and especially with animals, but other people too that are receptive to it. And so I have had other experiences too that are like that. And you're right. And it's because people don't realize that we're more connected than they think. And if you believe it enough that you can say something and that animal is going to read your thoughts, or just say it in your mind and it's going to know what you're thinking, or mm-hmm. that person, or that ET or Sasquatch, they will. don't doubt it for a minute. So if you just believe that like that, I had a similar experience with the mountain lion, and I saved his life with telepathy from a poacher. I told him where to go. I told him, come up to my cabin. And next morning, there was giant paw prints right by my front door. He would have come in probably if I had the door open.
Wow. That's awesome.
I told him to follow my harmonica. I kept playing my harmonica out on the deck.
You know what's funny is, and how did you know that this thing was in trouble with poachers? Like, was that just like a random inclination that just popped in your head?
No, I saw the whole thing. I was in California, and I was up at a cabin that I had reserved, and it was above a little town that was an orange town where they grow oranges. Very small town. It was just agriculture, east of San Diego. And so I was in this cabin there, and I was just kind of out on the deck having a beer and playing my harp, my harmonica, like I like to do. But all of a sudden I noticed there was an orchard, and I could see the town down there. And all of a sudden I saw all these trucks and four-wheelers surrounding an orchard, and like they were chasing something. But somehow I knew it was a mountain lion. I'm like, there's a mountain lion in there. And so then I just kind of talked to him out loud. He couldn't hear me. I was too far away. But it was my way of connecting. And I said, come on, just come on up this canyon. Come all the way up here. You can lose them, you know. And so then all of a sudden I saw all the trucks and four-wheelers rush over to the mouth of the canyon, and they can only go so far. And I knew, I was like, yeah, he's headed up the canyon, you know. So
Wow. And then you saw the footprints by your cabin, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah, but then I said, follow the music. There's more to the story. I said, follow the music. So then I kept playing. Pretty soon, it was actually maybe an hour and a half later, the cat snuck by me, because then all of a sudden here came this guy on a horse crunching through the leaves about 70 feet below my cabin. It's almost like a cliff down into the creek.
Yeah.
And he couldn't quiet that horse. And he was crunching through the leaves, walking up through there. And so, and me, big mouth, I had a couple beers. I was like, oh, get out of here, you fucking poacher. You know? I have to bleep that out.
No way. We got this.
I was like, get out of here, you know. Leave this cat alone. He's not... What, he's down there catching squirrels in your orange grove? Let him. He's catching what's damaging. Anyway, I kind of mouthed off. You know, so then I went in, I went to bed, and about 2 or 3 in the morning, a few shots rang out right by my cabin. And I'm like, oh, I pissed this guy off, you know? And so I looked out the window and tried to look out without showing myself. He was out there, and he had dogs. I couldn't see very well, but it looked like he had some dogs. I'm just going to lay low here for a minute. I didn't have a gun. And so then in the morning, it had kind of done a real wet snow, just a light snow, but it wasn't freezing, you know, how California is. And so the ground was really wet where it could leave nice prints. I opened the door. And there was these big, giant mountain lion paw prints come right up to my front door, and then went under the deck. And I think that's when he shot at it. He probably saw it by my front door. And so so what it did is it went to the top of the canyon and doubled back and came down to my cabin. By what I could see from everything, it probably shot back down into the canyon where he couldn't go with his horse.
Yeah.
So I saved the cat, and then he just was off going wherever he wanted. And it was null and void for the hunter. The next morning, I was driving down the canyon. I packed up, and I'm driving down the canyon, and there he was halfway down the mountain with 7 Siberian Huskies on his horseback. And me and him sat there and gave each other dirty looks. But I figured I was outnumbered, so I didn't flip him off. I just kept driving. But anyway, later on, that guy got busted because I told the lady that owned the property. And I says, if you don't call Fish and Game, I will. That guy had no reason to go after this cat. So she was like, wow, he was hunting on my property. And I'm like, yeah, right past the cabin. Shot right past it while I'm in there. Wow. And she said, I'll call him. And so then about a month later, I heard on the news here in Colorado that they caught a poacher that was running Siberian Huskies east of San Diego. And I was like,
you got him.
That was him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this has been such a pleasure. Do you have anything else you want to cover? I mean, this has been...
I mean, no, none of this time. I've had a lot of experiences, but if I tell everybody everything, it just gets to the point of unbelievable. But these are real things.
Maybe we'll have you on again or something like that. Yeah, you know, down 20 episodes from now or something, we have some other conversation and it spurs something. But man, me and him have both been really excited to talk to you because. It's just up the neck, our neck of the woods. It's just, it's here, you know. We're excited to have you on. It was really fun. And more so, there's even things we didn't expect, like the cougar thing. And you always open up those doors when you start talking to people because everyone always has more than that one experience. You know what I mean? And
yeah, I'm hoping more people see those, and maybe even the same family up around Snowbird, and that'll help confirm my experience. You know, yeah. Like, wow, this guy really did see him.
I'm personally gonna go check it out a little because I'm single. Rome's married. He has a baby on the way, and he has an 8-year-old son. And I'm over here just the single guy. That's why I have the mullet, right? And I have that camera. Like I said, I'm gonna put it on the back of my hat, and I'm just gonna walk. So if they're not wanting to be seen on camera, maybe I'll catch them on camera. We'll see. But I don't
ask
have
him. Maybe ask him, can I take a picture of you?
Maybe I should do the mind thing.
Telepathy, because
yeah,
maybe they'd let you find it, because I think they do have a way of destroying pictures and making them blurry. It doesn't make sense that so many people try to photograph them.
I agree.
And they're pretty much always blurry.
100%, yeah.
Yeah,
right. I think they see
more now.
I think they see infrared, and they see the stream, the camera stream. There's something about them that has a better knowledge of technology than we do. It's, you know, like Solomon says in the Bible, and I don't know if you're religious or not, but there's a text where he says there's nothing new under the sun. I almost believe everything has already happened, and now we're going back into that scale. And so maybe, like, all this stuff has already happened. Maybe they've been these old creatures that have seen all this technology, and they already understand it. And we're over here thinking it's brand new technology. You know what
maybe
I mean?
Knows. So,
who knows? But yeah, I just think it's very.
They've been known to break cameras too, like where people they tried to take a picture and all of a sudden the camera doesn't work.
Yeah. But is there anything you want to plug on your show? Like, is there anything you want to plug at all that you're working on? Like anything at all that you want to just tell our listeners about or anything like that?
Besides your art, because tell us about that one more time. The website one more time.
It's art. We say it Malay, but it's MILLET. That's my last name. But it's Art by Millet. So ArtByMillet. And I just kind of had it all run together instead of having three words. But you can look that up on Facebook. And I have posted a lot of my family's art and stuff on there too. My sons and daughters. And that's mainly the part you'll see on top. But if you go all the way to the bottom, you'll see most of my really fine drawings. In fact, I think the header has one of the finer drawings I've done. But if you go way down, you'll see like a whole bunch of stuff. Native Americans I drew, and like Wild Bill Hickok, a nude from the back that was 3 feet tall. I did. It's Catoscuro. And so that's what that is it's Catoscuro, where the image is coming out of the darkness. Some of these I took from photos of unknown photographers and stuff that were done back in the 1800s.
Nice. We'll definitely, I mean, we'll plug this on the podcast, but is there anything else you want us to share to you? Anything specific, any final word you want to say, anything that I think you want to be sign off on, advice, whatever you want to use?
You know, I think I do have something I'd like to say, that I think people are way too skeptical. I think that as Americans, especially, but even globally, we're taught to be so skeptical and non-believing, non-trusting. It's why we can't unite anymore. Because they've made all these divisions, man against woman, you know, color against color, religion against religion, political, there's divisions every which way you turn. And so I believe that we need to get rid of all those divisions and unite ourselves. And for myself, when somebody tells me something, I kind of almost don't care how outlandish it sounds. I don't first thing I think that somebody's lying to me. Yeah, I trust people that they're not lying to me, because maybe people judge people after themselves. That's what my dad used to say. So if they lie a lot and they like to tell big stories, maybe they think you are. I don't lie and I don't tell big stories unless I'm telling you a big story that really happened to me. I don't think other people are lying. When I hear, I'm always defending people when I see their experiences, and everybody jumps on them. Oh, this, oh, that. And I'm like, you guys are a bunch of naysayers. You know, get off his back. You don't have to believe it, but just they don't have to sit there and tear them apart either. Be insulting about it. You know what I mean? Call them stupid. Oh, you need glasses, whatever it is. Why? I always say too, why would anybody want to tell you something that far out, like a UFO or a Sasquatch or a ghost?
Makes them look bad. Just makes them look bad.
Yeah, to me. So people ridicule them? I don't think so. So I think the only hoaxers out there is the ones that are trying to make us not believe all these things are real. But yeah, that would be my last words, is people, stop being so skeptical. Believe your brother, believe your sister, give them the first benefit of the doubt anyway until they prove you wrong. And let's learn to love each other more and work together and be united.
I think we're in that information age where we're like starting to catch things that are lies. And like, you've seen it a million times over right now. Weird things that we've never seen happen, where things are getting prosecuted and things are just getting, it's just weird. It's a weird time. But you know, what's cool about that is I feel your pain. I feel what you're saying, because I feel like we're all going to start uniting. I've already noticed it. Like us three, it sounds like we're in the same boat where we're already those type where we want to trust people. We want to believe people.
I think so.
But I think other people are kind of coming around finally. Like there's people I know that are like, man, I thought you were so up in the night about this, blah, blah. It's like, now I think there's some credence to it because of what's going on. It's like, why does it have to take? Why do you have to take 5 years to understand that? I've been trying to say this for 5 years. Yeah. But yeah, I get what you're saying, and I think it's a really good message.
There's so much coming out now, and I'd almost predict that if we play our cards right, we might be able to develop a relationship with Sasquatch clans between humans and them. And that's one thing that I'd like to see. We can learn from them, and they can learn from us.
It's what the natives have been doing for years. They've been trading with them. There's Eastern native cultures that are literally, they said they're another native tribe and they trade with them. But yeah, thank you again for taking the time and, you know, follow us if you get a chance. We want to follow. We're going to plug your stuff on our accounts. And we have a Facebook page called Supernatural Station Group.
We'll let you know.
We'll let you know. We'll share it to you. Yeah. So you can listen to it and share it if you want.
Okay. But it's called Supernatural.
Supernatural Station Podcast. Yeah.
Okay. That's right. I saw that.
And then the Facebook group is just Supernatural Station. It's just a group. It's just a group page. We do a lot of conversation there. We talk about stuff. I shared pictures of some really credible Loch Ness monster photos just barely yesterday. I think they were pretty amazing from 2018 that are pretty – it looks like a crocodile almost coming out of the water. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
You can see the eyes and everything like that.
But yeah, man, I appreciate it. And thank you again for taking the time. We'll share it to you. I think it's probably going to take – just know it might take 2-3 weeks to get this out, but we will get it out as quick as we can, and we'll share it with you and stuff. So
my pleasure. My honor, too, to be on your podcast and share those experiences.
Oh, thank you. And
the honor's ours. Thank you.
I think it's just fun to get it out there, you know, and I think – and having people you can trust to do that with, you know, and thank you for trusting us even still, you know. I've told my experiences to people, and I'm not scared to do it, and it sounds like you're not scared to do it either, you know, but I understand.
Yeah, I get laughed at and whatever.
Yeah, who cares?
They can't take that away from me.
You know what's real. You know what you saw. And so it's like, you know, laugh all you want. But, hey, I'm going to call a duck a duck, right? So I appreciate you taking that time. So, yeah, we'll let you go, man. But we appreciate you being a part of it.
Thank you, guys. You guys have a good night.
Yeah, hey, thanks, Nathan. Thanks. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
See you later.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.